I think internships are so important. And we do tell our students that, you know, to take the summer and not take classes. Go and do an internship somewhere. Stay with a, you know, within the industry, working on the floor, you know, or at the farm, so you can know. So this is another thing. I just want to, you know, kudos to those companies that open up their doors to bring in the students for an internship, because that makes a difference. We see the difference in the student.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmanich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an eco-lab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Corver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this episode interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Dr. Fernanda Santos, who is Assistant Professor, Department of Food, Bioprocessing, and Nutrition Sciences in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at North Carolina State University. Welcome to the program, Fernanda.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to your current role at NC State?
Interesting enough, I am an NC State alumnus. I went to NC State. I went to the poultry science department at NC State, which is a super cool memory and great time there. But originally, I am from Brazil, was born there and went to school there, completed my vet school over there. And right after vet school, I moved to the U.S. because my husband had found a position as a master's student at the poultry science department. Just a little like parenthesis in it. When I first came, I could not speak English. So it was a very interesting change and move. Had just got married and then moved here and I could not speak English. So had to adjust this beyond just the cultural, but the language as well. We both fell in love with the country. My husband had lived here in the U.S. before the master's program when he came. So he knew about it and he loves the country and he just wanted to have an opportunity to come back. And it worked out because Dr. Firkat at the poultry science department had a position for him. Well, I took the opportunity to learn English, of course, volunteer a lot at the department. I can't thank people enough to have patience with me and, you know, like talking to me and teaching me English and teach me more about the labs and the research done there. And then again, one of the professors had an opening and he believed I could do it. And so started my program at poultry science. My area of research was food safety. At the time, he needed someone to understand how salmonella behaved in the poultry industry, but at the field level, at the poultry houses. And so that's what I did. After I finished my PhD, because I actually went straight into a PhD instead of having the master's PhD route, which was super interesting, a little bit more challenged because I had, you know, to do everything within one single program. But looking back, I think it was a great opportunity that I got and held on to the opportunity and it was successful, finished that. I had two children at the time. My youngest one was just about a year old, so I decided to stay home for a while, stay with the family. My husband got a job in Florida. We moved to Florida. Then I started teaching a little in a small university down in Florida, more kind of like a pre-med, a pre-vet program, you know, the basic science like genetic microbiology. That was amazing. It was small enough that I could learn, you know, the best way to teach in a very protected environment, I would say. And then after that, we had an opportunity to go back to Brazil. And I ended up working for the Brazilian Ministry of Agriculture, kind of like the many people hearing this who recognize Embrapa, which will be our ARS version of the Brazilian Ministry of Agriculture. It was a great opportunity. I worked with laying hens. And again, risk analysis and at farm sampling for salmonella at the time. Interesting opportunity. But and then we had the opportunity to come back to the U.S. We took on it and went back to Florida. I kept teaching in Florida, did some research at the hospital level, which it was kind of like, I guess, a different route. But still, you know, once you're a researcher, you adapt. And then I had the opportunity to come back to NC State. The position opened. I felt like I could contribute to the department. I liked the opportunity for first to come back to NC State, but second to teach more closely to the field that I feel comfortable with. And here I am.
Wow, that's a remarkable journey to get to NC State. Can you tell us a little bit about your current role? What do you do in your day-to-day job?
I am actually a 100% teaching faculty. So my primary responsibility is to not only teach classes at the department, but also develop curriculum, update the classes that I'm teaching, see possibilities to create new courses. So I have that, several jobs within the job, right? Like to make sure that the classes that are my responsibilities are current and updated. Look at the food science curriculum primarily and see what is missing or what could be improved, develop new courses. And then, of course, once we, for the curriculum, the administrative part, I would say, is to assess the curriculum if it's doing what it's supposed to do, right? If it's preparing our students to be professionals in the field.
Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to dig deeper into the poultry health challenges you face. By gathering scientific evidence, they identify the most effective combinations of natural ingredients that improve animal health. Visit naturalbiologics.com/poultry to see the newest research in both turkeys and chickens.
So you talked about, making sure that students are prepared. What's the current state of the relationship between universities and the poultry sector, the potential employers?
Yeah. And I'm going to say that I see both, I see food science as the segue of poultry science, right? Like once you have your product, then food science will process that product. And I see a very similar environment between the industry and the university in both areas, right? Like from the production side, poultry science, and the food science, the processing side. I would say that there is recognition of the need to work together. The students are hunger for this partnership. Like they want to be part and they want to contribute to the industry. They want to understand what are the needs are. But I still see this gap, and I can think of a few reasons why we're not as close as I wish we were. But I think there is recognition for both sides that there is a need to work together. Students need to understand and know what is happening in the industry, and the industries are the only institution that can tell us what we need to teach them and what the students need to know.
So are there some examples of things that you think universities are doing right in fostering that relationship?
Yeah, sure. Like, and I'll give a specific example that we're trying to do at the department is to have the industry a device partnership and suggestions related to what we do with the students and working together with the students. So for example, in food science, and I know in poultry science is the same for the undergrad programs, we have what we call a capstone course, right? At the end, students have to go through thinking about a research question, creating a design of experiments and conduct that experiment or those experiments to graduate. What we're trying to do in food science is to have the industry come as mentors and then tell the students possible ways to work together, problems that they are having that they might not have the time to work on. And then the students then take on that research question and develop the, and try to find the answer for them. For the last, 3 years or 4 years, actually, that has been so successful. I see how interested the students are. You know, when we tell them you're going to be working with this company, this person is your contact, they actually have a mentor within the company. And I let them free. You know, of course, I give them the guidelines and I tell them what I expect in terms of learning goals for the course and the things that they have to submit to me so I can, you know, check progress. But it's their relationship with their mentor that is the most important thing. And they see that, you know, the investment on the project is so much greater than if I just come up with, you know, like, oh, how about this project out of my mind?
Yeah. So that sounds like a real great opportunity. Are there some things where you think there are weaknesses that could be improved?
There are a few things that I believe, and I understand why the industry, you know, when I say industry, just, you know, like the people in the industry, the professionals are hesitant to give more or to be more involved. It's because of safety, you know, and in several levels of safety. Of course, you know, in live production, you want to limit people going into the farms, right? And I completely understand that. I teach that in my class and I tell them, you know, the best visitor policy is no visitor in the farms. as you know, but still, we still have to find a middle ground where we still follow the biosecurity and the safety steps to make sure that we don't cause any problem, but that we facilitate the presence of the students in the field or in the processing plant. So I see that, I wouldn't say that is a weakness, but is what prevents more partnerships to happen. And in the food processing, I would say it's the same thing. Imagine, you know, like you are in this big company where they are creating new products and there is a lot of intellectual property involved in that. And then now you add external people, there's all these different problems that you can have when you add people in see your processing, right? From beginning to end. But at the same time, how would the students learn if they don't see what is actually happening at the industry? Like what is really happening? What is the technology that is being used? And then for sure, find the challenges that the industry is having, you know, if they're not there. So I think that is what I think is us trying to figure it out how to do that better.
Yeah, and it sounds like you building trust between the companies and the universities is really important as well.
Yes. And so, for example, I'll give you one of the challenges that we had right in the beginning when I was trying to update the course. And the course before I arrived at NC State, the course existed. It wasn't something new that I invented, right? The capstone course existed. But the projects, as I mentioned, they were created by our own faculty, which sometimes is actually more of too much work for them because now they have to think about a project that has maybe not so helpful to their own, you know, research programs, but now they have to mentor somebody. So it was this situation where it wasn't good for the students or for the faculty. So as I was trying to understand how I could work with the industry better, one of the first questions I got from possible mentors was, so if we, you know, if you're developing a new food product, who does that product belong to, right? Is this like my property or is this the university's property? So we have to go through those, you know, legal processes to make sure and understand when something gets made in the classroom, you know, by or created by a student, how does that work? So the way we found a middle ground was that because my mentors, we don't charge them, like we don't charge the industry to have projects with us. But I do ask for support in the terms of ingredients. You know, we did work with a poultry company in the past to develop a new product and they provided chickens for us, right? So they provide what we need to run the project. We provide the student work. And of course, whatever we can do at the department in terms of lab materials or tests, we can do that at university. In terms of legal, what we learned with the process was because the companies are coming as a partner and they are investing in the project, the intellectual properties is theirs. So that was a great thing for them, right, to know that this is all theirs. And the students can't sign non-disclosure agreements. So the university allows that to happen. So that way the students start, and to me, this is a great learning experience. You know, like you cannot talk about certain things to people or when you're presenting your work, because those are protected information. So anyway, so that's how we kind of like try to bridge that fear of, you know, like, am I going to have that product, you know, it's mine, or how can we work together? So it has worked nicely.
Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting and positive interaction with that capstone course relationship between the students and the companies. Taking a step, you know, broader than the capstone course in general, how has the curriculum evolved in recent years?
Honestly, it hasn't evolved as much as the technology and everything outside has. You know, like, of course, we all are in one way or another thinking about artificial intelligence, right? So looking at, and I know this is pretty new, and we are still learning how to use that in the industry, in academia. But what I want to say is that I feel like we're trying to catch up with technology in our curriculum, you know? And from what I see since I started, and since I started doing curriculum assessment, I feel like that we are pretty good with the science. You know, like I don't think there's complaint about our poultry scientists that are our undergrads, our graduates that came out of the program, or food scientists that came out of the program, that they lack the science. I don't think they do. And I think we are very strong. You know, our curriculum covers that. However, that's not the only necessity for industry, right? At the end of the day, poultry and, you know, food in general, it's a business. And I feel like our curriculum is not giving the students those soft skills that they would actually need as much as they need the science skills, you know, that they learn. So they're pretty good with their science, their understanding of the technology. And of course, maybe my vision is limited by NC State in a sense. I feel like our university is trying to move forward, is innovative, and is trying to give students those experiences, you know, with technology. And, you know, I think about genetics and how much some of these things that influence our poultry industry is actually available at the university. But I still feel like as a curriculum, as you mentioned, Doug, like if the actual soft skills, if you look at our curriculum, I think is still missing, you know, like science communication, writing concisely and know how to explain to different audiences your science, you know, and then talk to marketing and talking to, you know, supply chain people. These conversations, I still think that students have. It's a challenge because they didn't develop that during the school time.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. And as always, please feel free to leave us your comments at any time. Your feedback is always valuable to us. Fernando, what do you think are the ideal industry-academia partnerships?
Like you mentioned in the beginning, you know, Capstone would be like the closest level with the student, right? It's that direct interaction with the student. And I tell my partners that interaction, it's kind of like a 6 month interview, much better than a 30-minute one. You know, you get to work with four or five students and you get to interview them throughout like a 6 month time period. So I would say that we have to work on those levels of partnerships, you know, like as much as we can have Indo should come and guest lectures and like direct interaction with the students. I think it's the first level. Very, very important. I know not all programs would have a possibility to have, you know, capstone projects where there's a certain kind of investment that is needed, right, to run, even if it's a small research project. So I would say as much as we can to have the industry in the day-to-day routine of a student so that they have that contact. Then, you know, like maybe one level up would be, you know, how can they help or how can they get involved in the department? In food science, we have what we call the an IPAC or industry partners advisory council. So we have a council that is only made by industry professionals, and they come, they participate in certain events in the department. They give suggestions for curriculum, which has been helping me a lot. In fact, to make sure that we look at the curriculum in a way from a professional view, right, from the industry view. I think this has been very helpful specifically to me, but I know it has been helpful to the department as well. So kind of like one level up. And then, and of course, my mind goes straight to teaching, right? Like how that can benefit teaching, but there are the contracts and research projects, right? Even university level ones. We have so many examples just within NC State, plant science initiative, and we are just launching what is called the Animal Science Initiative, which I'm super excited about, you know, like to have this collaboration within the university, not just within one single department, because I said in the beginning, I think food science and poultry science, they're connected, right? Like they should not be separate at any point because it's one, it's the next level, you know, of one is a production, one is processing. So this animal science initiative, it's a university-wide initiative that would facilitate those collaborations, you know, that sometimes it's difficult to have them, like we all know what is needed, we just don't find the right way to do those things. And because of this initiative, we'll stimulate industry partnership, then that now you're university level, you know, larger projects with larger amount of funds and possibilities to get funds than, you know, compared to just myself trying to get, you know, research going just by myself. We know that many of these grant agencies, they look at collaboration much more serious than they did before. So, you know, I'm thinking is, what are the ways that when we're doing this teaching, research and extension that we can collaborate with the industry.
For new undergraduate students, how do you promote the poultry industry to them to sort of develop that interest?
I always have partnerships in different levels, I guess, with the poultry science department. I help whenever I can with FFA, which I think it's an amazing program. Coming from Brazil, you know, we don't have that in Brazil. And when I learned about it and what it's done, this is brilliant. You know, we get our young students excited about these different sciences in agriculture early in life. So when they go to school, they already know, right? They already know about it. Other things that we try to do, both poultry science and food science, we have student clubs. And student clubs, their main goal is to bring in industry partners to talk to them. In food science, for example, I think poultry science meets every week as well. Food science meets every week, and every single week that there is an industry partner coming to talk about their company, you know, their necessities, possibilities of internships and things like that. So having them, again, I guess going back to the first level, right, like the direct interaction with students. So I see the value of having student clubs because student clubs help to facilitate that connection. I would say that if we step back one step before they even become an undergrad student, right? Because they have to make that choice to go into poultry science. They have to make that choice to go into, you know, the different agricultural sciences. I think we still have work to do in, you know, grade school, high school, middle school, and get the students excited. I think this you know, summer camp, for example, the poultry science department offers high school kind of like some, it's called Poultry Science Summer Institute, where Mary, who coordinates the program, bring students, high school students into the, at the, to the university for a whole week. And they see everything that happens in poultry science from, you know, beginning production, and they come to the food science and take a look at what can be done after the product is produced, right? And I talked to Mary a lot about that thinking, or to make that point to the student that if you don't want to be at the farm in the live animal production sector, you still can work with poultry in food science, in processing. So it's kind of like giving that broad, the range of choices that they can have, you know, like if you're a poultry scientist, well, look at me, I'm in the food science department, right? And as a poultry scientist, and I can use that knowledge and make more people aware of their possibilities to work in the poultry industry. We have, that I can count since I started, at least 6 alumni from the food science program in the poultry industry now, you know, working in the processing side, but they're there. And so I feel very happy about, you know, some of the choices, and they're super happy with the choice they made.
So when you talk to industry, are there still some things that they're looking for that maybe our undergraduate students are lacking in terms of knowledge or skills or aptitudes?
I would say one of the things that I hear the most, and I can actually back up that with data. I haven't published this yet. We had, I say we because we were a consortium of 10 different universities, and we're looking for how to develop food product development curriculum, a better food product development curriculum that would encompass, you know, from the beginning, the ideation process for any kind of food to all the way to commercialization. And before we start the process, we submitted we created a survey for industry professionals. We just sent that off to our, you know, friends by email, LinkedIn, and we published that at the end. I think I have, and it's still actually open. I think I still have, I probably have about 150 responses from industry professionals. And we ask exactly that. What do you feel like is missing? Like, what do we have to develop in our students that we're not doing right now? And top answers, communication, time management, and conflict resolution. Those are the three top ones. Soft skills, as I said. And, you know, like, it couldn't be more clear that we have to fix our curriculum in that sense. You know, they're not worried about their, you know, poultry physiology or food chemistry. Students are good, but they need to learn how to communicate that science better.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think we are, as universities, are good on the technical things, and we kind of hope that our students pick up those soft skills somewhere. It's an interesting challenge for our programs going forward.
You just made me think about, you know, how to develop those skills somewhere else. One of the things that I want to shout out about industry and how much better I feel that we are doing is internships. So I think internships are so important. And we do tell our students that, you know, to take the summer and not take classes, go and do an internship somewhere, stay with a, you know, within the industry, working on the floor, you know, or at the farm, so you can know. So this is another thing. I just want to, you know, kudos to those companies that open up their doors to bring in the students for an internship, because that makes a difference. We see the difference in the student.
How do you stay aligned with industry? How do you stay on top of what industry is looking for in your professional life?
I try to read a lot, and I'm going to be honest, I read a lot because I'm a teacher, right? So I have lots of classes to teach and I have assignments to read. So I read a lot. Reading sometimes, I actually have to take a break from reading. But I try to read a lot. I think it's very interesting to read technical magazines, you know, because they, even though, you know, again, to my students, if they're listening to this, they're not peer reviewed, most of them, but they still have good content, and you can check what has been said in those tactful magazines. I think that these are good, quick ways to get updated information. I try to do that because we do have our advisory council. We have two meetings a year with them. So does this direct connect with them, you know, sit down conversations when they come and visit the department? I think, you know, reading and trying to learn by yourself or, you know, like, of course, stay updated with scientific publications. This is great, but it's nice to talk to people and hear what their, you know, their current challenges.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boehringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International. Creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik. We are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Strong bird performance starts with a healthy environment. Healthy environments start with Jones Hamilton. AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the poultry industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive poultry production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
Well, Fernanda, we're approaching the end of our time together, but I've got a few remaining questions that hopefully are a little more fun for you and for the audience. The first question is, do you have a favorite poultry-related book or resource that you, what's your go-to?
Yes. So my poultry-related resource is Poultry Science Journal. If I want to, and of course, I love the Applied Poultry as well. And I have found articles that are super interesting, but Poultry Science Journal is my main go-to because and then I can get updated information quickly, right? Unfortunately, again, as a teacher, I love books. I think we should have textbooks for certain classes because there are some pieces of information that really don't change much. So it's okay to have textbooks. But for current information, yeah, I try to go to fact-based information. So I try to go to Poultry Science Journal. Now, I do want to say, I don't know if you are, if you use a lot LinkedIn Learning. Another great piece of, advice is to go to and try to find different classes. Some of the courses are very short. They're not even like 20 minutes and you learn about. I want to shout out two of those that I have gone through, and I probably gone through the storytelling one twice already just because to remind me some of those tools that I can use. So data visualization storytelling is one. If you type that up in LinkedIn Learning, it will give you the link. And, you know, tactical writing, just like quick start guides on how to write better. And again, I'm like maybe biased because I go towards those types of information, but LinkedIn Learning, it's not quick and easy. You just need to have an account, a free account, to go through those courses.
Yeah, so that's great. You jumped ahead and answered my second question, which was your book or resource outside of agriculture. So that LinkedIn Learning really sounds like a great opportunity. I'll have to check that out.
Yes.
So our final question is, what do you think is the most important characteristic that a person should have in order to be successful in the poultry industry?
I probably have a list of like four or five things that I believe that are important. But I guess my summary is to be open-minded, you know, to listen before speaking and learn you know, things that are important for that job that they're doing. So just and be, I guess, humble enough to understand that we don't know everything, right? You're not the best expert. And so you're always there to learn. I guess coming in with that thought that I'm here to learn and to be better, I think is the first step. You know, because we don't, I still learn, right? I'm still learning and I'm excited about learning and I know I don't know everything. So I think that, you know, just rethink your behavior when you are out there in the job. But of course, you know, make sure that when you are doing your undergrad program, learn your technical skills, right? Learn what the program is teaching you. So that way you don't have to learn that outside of the university, because you might not have that chance, right, to learn that and somebody to teach you that. So use the opportunity that you have at the university to learn those technical skills, and then find a way to, if the program is not giving you, find a way to learn those soft skills, right? The communication. Again, I don't think it's never enough to repeat that, you know, effective communication, effective writing. Students, sometimes they complain to me that in my courses, they have to write a lot. And I tell them, so even if you're not going to academia to write, you know, grant proposals and research articles, you will always write. You always have to write some kind of information. And sometimes you don't have a lot of space actually to write that information. So learning, you know, those skills, effective communication, scientific writing or technical writing, let me take that back, technical writing, and be adaptable, right? Like adaptability, problem solving, conflict resolution, some of those things. Think about all these soft skills that will make the technical skills better.
Dr. Fernanda Santos, thank you so much for joining us today on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is always important to us. Visit our site at wisenetics.com and learn more about all our podcast segments for poultry, swine, beef, dairy, feed mill crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.